Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in. Just in case you are tuning in, we had Will Franklin on the first hour, and we covered a lot about his about Ted Cruz. Actually had the nerve to come out and say, if you say Christ is King, he said it was anti-Semitic. It's hard it is to believe here in the United States of America to come out and say Christ is King. You're labeled as an anti-Semite. And I'm forever going off on my Southern Baptist friends. What few friends? Well, I think I have one friend left that was Southern Baptist. But I'll tell them I can say that because I was baptized in a Baptist church. But I tell them I did the 12-step program to get out of the Baptist church. But it only took me one step to get out. But anyway, it didn't take me long, folks. But everybody knows why. But they got to loving those Israelis too much and those Jews too much. But anyway, folks, as promised, in this is the last hour. In case you're wondering why Gene had come in, the bitter ender. In fact, Gene said he's still bitter, more bitter than ever, bitter ender. Anyway, he's off today at a birthday party. And one of his good friends at the birthday party, but we have two great people in. I tell you what, I've been knowing him a long time. Sam Dixon Esquire, a fellow I've been admiring a long time. Always listen to him speak. If you ever have a chance to hear Sam Dixon speak, you want to listen because it's a treat indeed. Knowledgeable. Just a great intellect. He's clear, unlike me. He speaks, you actually understand what he's saying. And we also have another fellow on here who's a brain compared to me. Mark Tommy is an engineer, a practicing engineer. So we have good people come on today, and I'm going to bring them in. Thank God they're coming in to help me out and turn them loose and get out of their way and let them do their thing. I think they're going to talk about some about Joe Kent. There's a great article. We just had Don Wassel on. He is the creator of the best online newspaper I think I've seen. It's called AmericanFreedomNews.us. If you type in American Freedom News, you have to put .us or you won't come up with American Freedom News. But there's a great article that he's put on there about Joe Kent. And if we get time, we'll speak to that. I don't know what the guys are going to speak about. I don't know what they're going to talk about. But anyway, Sam, would you like to lead off? What do you want to talk about starting off, Sam, with you and Mark Tommy? Glad you guys are here.
Well, I'd like to start off by saying that everything that we have predicted has come true. And also, I'd like to say that you and Don Wassel worked for the revolution, and probably so does Tommy. But I just talk for the revolution, so I'm in your shadow, and I'm honored to be on in your company.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, here it's earned. It's deserved. But we predicted long ago that these programs would fail, and they have failed, and they're failing everywhere. And the shoe is beginning to pinch, and people are beginning to get unhappy. And unfortunately, they're going to be a lot more unhappier as time goes on, and things get worse and worse, which they will. You know, I remember back in Great Society days, I was 18, and Lyndon Johnson won his landslide, and they were passing all these bills. They passed the Civil Rights Bill, food stamps, Section 8, housing, Head Start, and this is going to solve everything. And I think a lot of whites believe this is kind of reparations. They talk about reparations, but we never get a set off for all the money that has been poured by us into the African American community. But anyway, we felt that the causes of the problems in the black community were not related to mixing the races and to these things they had. And so they got their way. We've had the experiment, and there's no scientific study that shows that mixing the races ever raised the academic performance of African-American students. So for three generations, we have pursued a policy with no data to show that it does any good, and we pursued it at the cost of trillions of dollars. And I think the real purpose is that they'll say it's a success, and for some people it is a success, because they never really cared about African-Americans. They cared about getting us. And so that has been their motivation.
Well, and you got to say, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say the only way that all of that stuff can be considered a success by anybody are those who have profited from it financially because of all the government programs and set-asides and everything. But as far as them ever achieving their stated goals, they have obviously been abysmal failures. And, you know, it's funny, I've commented on a couple of videos here over the last couple of days on subjects like this. One of them was a video that I saw from a TV station in Daytona, Florida. It's spring break over in Daytona, and the Negroes are running amok and just they're shooting people. They're, you know, causing all kinds of havoc and chaos and whatnot. And one of the comments that I made was that, you know, our grandparents warned us about what would happen if you ever let the Negroes out from under white control. And they have been our grandparents and parents have been proven right in spades. Everything that they said would happen if you let them off the leash has happened. And as Sam has pointed out, just here too, is that, rather than, the rising tide lifting the black boats, it's been more like the black tide has dragged the white boats down to the bottom. And, you know, it's been a total loss culturally, socially, economically, and politically for both sides of this thing. And, I even ended one of my comments by saying that, Governor George Wallace was right. Segregation today, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
True. You know, I saw that clip. I saw that clip, and that beach was totally overrun. It looked like Zimbabwe or Mogadishu. But, Sam, I'm going to repeat something you said. No, I think Gene said. I'm going to go back to you, Sam. Gene said, told one of our supporters, going to meet Gene soon, Gene told him that since 1865, we have lost everything. We being, at the time, the South. And Sam Dixon, astutely pointed out to me that we can't think of the South as a geographical area. Well, I'll tell you. I'll back to you. Tell them what you were going to put your. I didn't mean to cut you off, Sam. I'm sorry, but I was going to repeat what you said. We have to start thinking ourselves as white people, as Europeans, and not think about a geographical area. But go back to you, Sam. I'm sorry. I hope we didn't cut you off, brother.
Well, that's a thought. It reminded me to come back to the thought about the impact of mixing the races on social inequality, which is something that's overlooked. But yeah, so this is something where I differ from a lot of Southerners. I am a Southerner. I am a real Southerner. By my door, sitting in my living room, there is a Confederate bond with a picture of my paternal cousin, Gushka Pickens, on it, who lit the fuse for the first cannon shot at Fort Sumter. She was the daughter of the governor of South Carolina. And all my ancestors fought for the South, and I feel most comfortable with other Southerners. That's something that we have not lost, is the sense of being together. But I'm concerned at the danger of our engaging in another family feud among white people. You know, all of the attacks on Yankees, on Puritans and New Englanders. Three of my great-grandparents are from New England, so I kind of have a foot in both camps. And I understand the problems of both the South and New England. But, you know, we cannot afford any more family feuds. You know, the Irish and my people in Scotland and Northern Ireland have got to move on. It's time to move on from this because we have other fish to fry. And I think the heritage fight got off to a bad start, but it was hijacked early on by people who wanted to claim that 200,000 blacks fought in the Confederate Army, which is a preposterous lie. But they wanted that because they felt that would make them acceptable on talk shows, and they could be leaders and this kind of thing. And there are a lot of Southerners who are so psychologically whipped that there was a ready market for it. But the cost of that was it alienated the Northerners who had moved in amongst us. And I hear these same people, you know, trying to form alliances with Southern blacks who are very offensive to Northerners. My father, as a Presbyterian clergyman in Atlanta, had a lot of new parishioners that came in after the war, after World War II, from the North. And corporations were transferring people, and a lot of them came here, and they were Presbyterians in the North, and they came to the parish. And Father had a wonderful way of interacting with them. He would tell them when the subject of quarrels from the South and North came up, he'd say, the best Southerners are reconstructed Yankees.
Well, with that comment, we'll take our first break of the third hour. Sam will come right back after this quick break. Folks, this is a fast break. You don't have much time to go use the restroom or something. Make it quick. Be right back.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Introducing managed IT services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with managed IT services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Tell you some boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. We have two great guys on today, and they're helping us out, and I'm so appreciative, and I know you people are out there too, because everything we do on Blood River Radio from day one, and we're coming up on our eighth year. Excuse me, coming up on our, let's see, like 10th year. But anyway, it's to fight against global white genocide, and that's what we're doing tonight. So, Sammy, Will, you made some great points about how the educational system has just been destroyed, and you come ahead, and then we'll get Mark to chime in to make the comments on what you're getting ready to take off on. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring out that's really coming on is that this experiment that was launched in the name of social equality has actually resulted in less social equality. When I was a kid, the lawyer's son, the surgeon's son, the doctor's son, the CPA's son, the Episcopal priest's son, the Presbyterian minister's son, they all went to a public school. And they rubbed shoulders with people of their own race from who went there too. The brickmason's son, the farmer's son, the painter's son, the electrician's son, the plumber's son. And there was far more social equality in those days than there is now, because what's happened is the elite whites now have their children in prep schools. And there's much less opportunity for smart working families' kids to get ahead in life. You know, when the three of us were young, the smart kid could came from a blue collar background. He could go to college. He could go to medical school. He could become a doctor. Now I don't think that exists anymore.
It's very rare, and I've argued for a long time now that as far as the government schools are concerned, it's been one of the biggest frauds ever perpetrated on the Southern people, especially because a lot of the thrust of public education is to reconstruct us into something that we're not, and that's still going on. I've also said that they're a Marxist socialist experiment from their genesis, and they were never meant to be institutions of true learning. The fact that anybody learns to read, write, or cipher while they spend 12 years going through those debauched institutions is just a happy accident. And the main thing is to produce compliant, interchangeable cogs for the state and the corporations. That's the purpose of public. It's not to produce educated.
No. The purpose is catechization in the establishment narrative. It's not education. It's not critical thinking. When I was a kid, I went to catechism class. You as a Roman Catholic probably went to catechism class and learned the Baltimore Catechism. Did you?
Yes.
Mark. Well, catechism class probably functioned in your church the way it did in mine. The catechism teacher had the catechism. We had the catechism, and she'd read out the question. And we had to memorize it, and you recited it back to her exactly as written. And that's how the education system works. It's a system of catechization, and you're not allowed to talk. If you talk back, you're sent to the principal, or you're beaten up by other kids, or you're expelled from school, and things like that. I went to school when it was still segregated. There were no blacks in my class at Griddles High School. But in the 5 years that I was there, it was very liberal. It was probably the best public school and the most liberal public school in the state. It was basically the Emory University school was what it was. And we had lots of required reading in many classes. In the entire 5 years that I spent in Georgia High School, not one single time were we ever asked to read a book that disagreed with the party line. Everything we read was to reinforce the party line. Yeah, dissent was not allowed. Critical thinking was not taught. And today, if you had a teacher who taught critical thinking, if she did, I had one teacher that taught it, Eleanor Pruitt, and she would have us write position papers on great society programs. And of course, we'd write what we believed in. And then the next week assignment would be to write a position paper arguing the opposite point of view. Now, today she'd be fired. Yeah, to have someone write a paper on why the Civil Rights Bill was bad, oh my, it'd be written up in the New York Times. The SPLC would be at the school board. The ADL would be calling on the Justice Department.
Yeah, no dissent or opposing ideas are allowed. It's strictly toeing the party line, and that's part of the reason why when people come out of public schools, they really are brainwashed into being the subservient, compliant subject of the state. Because every day they started off with a prayer to that red and white striped rag of the Federal Union. Couldn't say a prayer to our Lord Jesus Christ.
The pledge.
But they will say that civic prayer to that flag, and so all of the accepted party line mythologies of American history are what's taught and parroted over and over and over again. So by the time they come out of 12 years of that, it's no wonder that if you were to say to them, well, maybe the fact that the Pledge of Allegiance was written by a defrocked socialist minister to convey completely anti-American ideas that the Founding Fathers would have found abhorrent, people look at you like you just got off a spaceship from Venus or something. You know, you're worse than a heretic that needs to be burned at the stake, because how dare you not want to say the Pledge of Allegiance or stand for the Yankee national song at the baseball game, you know? But I have found over the years, once you finally break free of all of that, it's very liberating to be the one guy at the ball game who refuses to stand and put his hand over his heart for that Yankee flag, you know, before the game starts.
I don't go as far as you do, Mark. I do stand and I do put my hand in my heart, but I do dislike the pledge. And the thing that I dislike most about the pledge is the part, one nation with liberty and justice for all. Because it isn't one nation, and it isn't a nation with liberty and justice for all. If you go into the court system, you can forget justice. As a joke among lawyers goes, if you want justice, you go to the whorehouse. If you want to get screwed, you go to the courthouse. And that's really how it is. I mean, these judges are so politicized. There was a case in Washington, D.C. recently where a fellow was sued, and there's no basis for the suit at all. He was sued because he was participating in a conservative Proud Boy thing or something, and somebody else pulled up a Black Lives Matter sign in front of a black church. So the church identified people who were in the crowd and has sued them. And this guy didn't pull up the sign. He wasn't near the person who pulled up the sign. He doesn't know the person who pulled up the sign, but above all, the suit was filed after the statute of limitations had expired. And for those who aren't lawyers, the statute of limitations sets how long you can wait before you file your lawsuit. You can't sue somebody for an automobile accident that took place 10 years ago. You have to sue within the absolute clear time period that is set out in the official law code, and this suit ought to have been dismissed. The very righteous Yankee Irish Catholic lawyer who's representing him filed a motion to dismiss. We said, you know, they filed it 6 years after the event, and the statute's 4 years. The court could not care less. The judge refused to dismiss it, and that's not unusual. That's how it usually takes place. That's the status of our system of law. And so there's a reason, as you're saying, Mark, there's a reason why they compel children to say thousands of times between ages 5 and 18, with liberty and justice for all. But it's important to keep them believing that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more about there's more justice at the whorehouse than there is at the courthouse, for sure. because in some of my own unfortunate forays into the legal system, and I use that term intentionally because I refuse to call it the justice system because I've never seen any justice dealt in it, it's not what the law says. It's not about being impartial
not about the evidence. The evidence doesn't matter.
Yeah, or the evidence or anything else. It generally boils down to the fact that the judge, you know, says, "Well, I just don't like this guy, so I'm going to convict him." If it's a jury trial, I'm at least going to do everything I can to make sure that the jury convicts him. You know, they're absolutely forbidden to mention anything to the jury about jury nullification, which is the last line of defense.
We have to part company on that. Jury nullification, when people started that stuff up years ago, I told people, you're going to have a belly full of jury nullification. That's what we've got now. The O.J. Simpson jury engaged in jury nullification. And most juries, especially in generally black neighborhoods and venues, they're going to nullify the law to nail you, me, and Eddie Miller.
That is very interesting. If guys, we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. It's a 4-minute break. We need to revisit that thought when we come back. That's a break. People, we got about 4 minutes. So if you need some coffee or something, go ahead and get it.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Even as President Trump hints he'd like to bring an end to the war in Iran, Iran says it has no plans to ease its attacks on the global energy supply infrastructure. John Campbell reports.
We're seeing continued attacks on energy infrastructure across the Gulf Arab states. It just puts more pressure on global energy prices that seem to only be going up. The top military spokesman there issued a statement warning that Iran's enemies would not be safe on beaches or recreational areas anywhere around the world. This is a threat that analysts had been warning about, that Iran could return to using militant attacks abroad.
Airport lines stretch on as TSA workers remain unpaid, while lawmakers remain at an impasse on funding.
Lines are impossibly long at airports around the country. TSA agents calling out sick and leaving the job since they've been working without pay since the Department of Homeland Security partly shut down in mid-February. A bill to fund DHS has failed to advance in the Senate. President Trump is now threatening to give immigration officers a role in airport security unless Democrats agree to fund DHS. I'm Julie Walker.
A bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security has failed to advance in the Senate.
Pressure is growing as lines get longer at airports and TSA workers aren't getting paid. Democrats did not provide the support needed to move the funding measure toward final passage. Washington Democrat Patty Murray says after the deaths of two people in Minneapolis, the focus is on cleaning up ICE.
The American people have had enough of this rogue agency.
North Dakota Republican John Hoeven says the Trump administration has made a real common sense good offer.
As people understand what's on the table, and of course with these TSA lines, I think there's a real demand there by the public.
Ed Donahue, Washington.
More on these stories at Town Hall.
A Social Security update. 70 million Americans collect Social Security benefits today, and millions more will join soon. Now, a new study finds 70% of Americans don't get the full benefits they deserve. But recipients can use simple strategies to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen says it's true and reveals five key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in his free special report. Newsmax calls the report your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. Whether you're getting benefits or soon will, you need the Social Security report. Get it free. Call 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. We'll text it to you right away, along with President Trump's act cutting your Social Security taxes. Call now, 800-999-9690, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I'm going to have to chip in. I'm going to speak when I didn't plan to speak, but Sam said something that really got my core at my heart. And he said, here's what he said pretty much. These people, our enemies, the people that hate us, they hate us. They hate you. If you're white, that's your uniform. If you're white, you have no idea. If you're the average white person, that you don't have an evil heart. You have no comprehension of how much you are hated. Just like Sam said, these people hate our guts. They want us not just dead. Once we're dead, they want to defecate on our graves. You have no, that's a satanic hatred. And with that, I'll shut up and go back to you, Sam.
Well, we're also talking about the Civil War and the hope, the impossibility of reform. And I made the statement that I've made to many people, and that is that we tried fighting a Civil War using states' rights and a limited government, and it didn't work. And if we have the next Civil War, is going to be more important than this, the previous one, is because this one's going to be something which is going to be a fight to the death. And this time, we need to have the Abraham Lincoln, and they need to have Jefferson Davis. It's only going to be done. We're only going to survive through very strong, ruthless government. I'm sorry it's that way, but it is that way. And, you know, in street fighting, the fight descends, and when you're fighting somebody, you fight another guy. Well, the rules descend to the lowest level. You know, we had boxing in high school, and I was in 10th grade. If I was boxing another kid, another 15-year-old that I was going to be eating lunch with and soup have here an hour, we followed what's called the rules of the Marquess of Queensbury. You know, you didn't kick him in the testicles, you didn't stomp on his nose, you didn't kick him in his kidney, you know, things like that. But if you're in downtown Atlanta and you're attacked by a group of urban youths, you know, those rules are off the table.
You got that right.
The rules have to descend to the lowest level.
You got that right.
Yeah, it becomes the law of the jungle, you know, and that is a part of what I think a lot of our people don't quite understand yet, because they have been bombarded with the idea that they should be ashamed of who they are, and that everybody else, it's okay for them to be proud of who they are, and that we're somehow the unique villains of all of American history, if not world history. And so, you know, it's not even permissible for us to defend ourselves. I mean, how many cases have you seen of white people being jumped by these black or Mexican thugs and whatnot who dare to defend themselves by pulling out a pistol and shooting somebody who's trying to beat them up with a bat? Or, well, for example, take the example of Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, I mean, luckily he was acquitted.
That's right.
But they tried him. But the point is, he should have never stood trial. The district attorney, after reviewing that evidence, should have said, this is a clear-cut case of self-defense. These people were trying to kill this kid, and he just happened to have the means to defend himself, and he ended up shooting a couple of them. Well, you know what? You got what you deserved. So, you know, end of story. But
let's take another. But if you do defend yourself, like you say, you know, you have to defend yourself. It's a matter of life and death. But even then, it doesn't end. We saw in the Charlottesville case, they sued 30 defendants, you know, who were not involved in any violence. They defended themselves against a violent attack by Antifa thugs. And that's very clear. I was there. I saw it. Thank God I wasn't sued. But I went there the last minute, and I saw what's going on. These people, our people were the victims of an organized criminal attack. And that's not just my opinion. That basically is the opinion of the city's own study of it. They hired a former federal prosecutor named Timothy Heathy, who apparently is a straight-up guy, and he reported that the black police chief had ordered the police not to protect us, but to allow the crimes he committed to us as a means of shutting down the white people's rally. And that was the city's own lawyer. But they got sued, and they've been financially ruined. Michael Hill was one of them, whom you know. And they got a $23 million judgment. The judge told the jury that you can be a member of a conspiracy and not know it. You can be a member of a conspiracy. Your mere physical presence can make you a member of a conspiracy. Now, if these principles were applied to all political gatherings, no prudent man in America would ever go to any kind of political gathering at all. Because if someone there gets into a fight with somebody with a different opinion, you can be sued with limitless punitive damages.
That's amazing.
That isn't the law, but it was the law for us, because this is not a nation with liberty and justice for all. And that the Charlottesville case is another thing that shows that the courts are the enemy's turf.
Absolutely. I could not agree more.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I've argued that, well, you know, if something like that, if you get caught up in something like that, and they want to bring some kind of legal action against you, you might as well just go ahead and say, screw you, I'm not showing up, I'm not coming, I'm not participating in this circus, because it's nothing but a kangaroo trial anyway. You know, so if you want to try to take what's mine, you're welcome to come and try, but I'm not going to bankrupt myself with attorney's fees and all kinds of other stuff just for you to go ahead and get your foregone conclusion, you know, from initiating this thing. Don't let yourself
There are two practical things that I can suggest to the listening audience that may help. One is you try whenever you can to get a compulsory arbitration provision. I have that in my leases and in my real estate contracts that I can invoke this, and you go to arbitration, which can be over in 60 days, as opposed to 5 years in court and $250,000 attorney's fees bill, and trying the case in front of 12 hostile, uneducated people. The second thing is you need to get an umbrella policy of insurance. They're cheap. You can get a $2 million umbrella policy for a few hundred dollars. What that does is it means the insurance company has to get a lawyer to defend you. And getting a lawyer to defend somebody on our side is very difficult. No foremost lawyer in Charlottesville would defend any of these 30 people. It would be professional ruin. I have suffered tremendously professionally for defending white dissenters in court. The SPLC wrote its smear up on me with cooperation of a crook here who cheats black people, whom I had represented black people against his cheating. And he got together with the SPLC that knew the story, but helped them concoct the smear. And this smear was then mailed by their supporters to all the judges and the zoning officials with whom I practice, and they still have it up online. Virtually everything in it is untrue, including the ands and the bees. But anyway, you know, the lawyers know that, and they will not represent you. But if you have an umbrella policy, the insurance company has to get you a lawyer, and he will usually be from the foremost insurance defense firms, and the judges will be reluctant to screw him over the way they will you if you're not protected or if you're represented by an unimportant lawyer. And that saves Bill Regnery, who is a righteous Yankee, who is a defendant at Charlottesville. They dropped him because they did not want this first-rate lawyer sitting in that courtroom defending him. But he got out.
That's some valuable advice. I love that. We here on Blood River Radio, we always talk about solutions. We always try the best we can, as hard as it is to have solutions and what we're up against. But those are some great solutions you just put forth, Sam. I really appreciate that.
Solutions. They're protections. Solutions lie in the future ethnostate and in our very, very different state, very different from what was set up in 1789. And we are very, very different from the way the United States of America functions in 2026.
Yeah,
you're here. Uh-oh, folks, I hear the music. Believe it or not, this hour is 3/4 gone. People, we got to go to the last break of the third hour. I'll be right back after this. I might ask something a little bit, shift gears a little bit, but we'll see when we come back. Hang on to your seats, people. Got about 2 minutes.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I don't want to interrupt the guys on the roll. I was going to ask them if they want to talk about this Joe Kent. And I have some personal reasons to bring this up. He was Army, I think, 20-year Army vet, Army Ranger, Army Green Beret. He multiple combat missions, this honorable fella. He was the, under Trump, President Trump, he was the... the director of the United States National Counterterrorism Center. And he wrote a letter to President Trump, and he was telling President Trump, he said, your first term, President Trump, he was addressing President Trump, you showed more intelligence, more acumen, if that's the right word, in dealing with foreign dictators and foreign enemies than any president we've had. And he cited, once I disagree with him, he said, you killed this guy with Soleimani, who was a high up military director, some kind of a 4 or 5 star general. But anyway, he said that I'm going to have to resign. He being Joe Kent told President Trump, I'm going to have to resign because even though you were so good at one time, and your judgment in keeping us out of these foreign wars, he said, we were dragged into this war in Iran. It's no benefit from us. Not only is there no benefit, it's going to cost us millions, just billions, if not trillions. It's going to cost our blood and treasure. It's going to kill our boys for foreign wars dedicated to a foreign country. And another thing I didn't know until today, until Will told us, guys, and I'm going to shut up just a second. He found out, he being Joe Kent, found out that the Israelis actually had Mossad officers and their military officers planted into the Pentagon, and they were directing, I'll repeat this, I want you people to know this, the Jews, the Israelis, the Mossad officers, the IDF officers planted inside the Pentagon, directing our foreign policy, our being the United States of America foreign policy, and specifically this war. So he resigned. He rejected against about that. He objected to it strenuously. I mean, he just could not do that honorably. So now Trump and all the usual suspects are coming after this Joe Kent. And so I say it's time the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines tell the federal government to go to hell. We're not going to. Also, Joe Kent said that he didn't think that average Joe six-pack American would want his brothers, his sisters, or his sons and daughters dying in a foreign land for a foreign country for something we're not going to get anything out of it. Not only that, it's destroying us economically. The gasoline prices exploded like crazy. Anyway, Mark, have you kept up on that? I don't know which one of you would you like to comment on that, Mark. What do you think about that, man?
Well, I've only followed it in kind of a cursory fashion, but you pretty much hit the essence of it. Is that there's you do still occasionally find the rara avis in Mordor on the Potomac who is willing to be honest about things, and of course, as usually happens when they are honest about things, they get drummed out and smeared by the regime. So, but he's absolutely right, Eddie. You know, I think we talked about this one the last time I was on the show, is that we've gotten ourselves into a quagmire here. Trump and of course the U.S. media has been very careful to paint a very rosy picture of how great everything's going and how wonderful it is and how it's going to be over soon and yada yada yada. And but if you look at news coverage from other places around the world, Israel and other countries in the Middle East, the U.S. military bases in other countries in the Middle East are getting the shit kicked out of them, to not put too fine a point on it. And, I think I saw something the other day that, the Trump administration saying, Iran's military capability is like 95% destroyed and this, that, and the other. But yet you look at news from some of these other places and they're still raining missiles down on Tel Aviv and other places like that and these U.S. bases. And I'm sure the casualty list is much higher than what they're wanting to let on. And now they're talking about sending the Marines over there and, this, that, and the other. And it's just absolute insanity. When Trump was running for president the first time back in 2016, as a Southern nationalist, I was telling people, look, this guy is not all that in a bag of chips. There's a lot about this fella that's shady. I'm not so sure about, his morality or his mental capacity or whatnot. And, now that he's been reelected, I hate to say it, but all the people who said, oh, he's going to try to become a dictator and do this and do that. And they were right. Even a stop clock is right two times a day. And so, a lot of Democrats and other left-wing people who were saying, you know, he's going to get us in trouble, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. It's all coming true. He is playing out exactly what they predicted that he would. You know, the Constitution be damned. You know, the people be damned. He's an insane megalomaniac, and he's gonna keep escalating this thing to the point where it's gonna get millions of people killed before it's all said and done, and it's gonna bankrupt the United States. I mean, our debt has already got us at a little over 100% of our GDP. It takes a little bit more than the whole country produces just to pay the interest on the debt now. This war is only going to make it go higher than that, and there's no way that you're ever going to be able to pay that money back. And so the international Jew bankers are going to call their loans in, and when they do, that's going to be the end of it, and it's going to be misery for not just the military personnel, but for the average Joe out here who's not going to be able to afford to keep a roof over his head or food on his table anymore. And so the whole thing is just absolutely insane. There's no other way to describe it. And I applaud this guy for pointing out the obvious. But of course, as usual, you know, a prophet is always despised in his own country, and so you're seeing that play out with him. And there have been a couple of other people who've resigned. I can't recall their names off the top of my head, but there are other people who are beginning to see the utter folly of all of this, and are washing their hands of it. But the problem is that that's not going to stop it. You know, I applaud them for having the courage of their convictions. That goes without saying, but this regime is out of control, and I don't just mean Trump. I mean the whole U.S. regime, because it really doesn't matter which party's in power. They all pursue the same damn policies, whether it's social or international relations or anything else. It's constant war for constant peace. It's constant borrowing for constant debt. To try to produce prosperity. And it just can't happen. You know, the laws of nature won't allow it. So despite all of their high pie in the sky promises and their posturing and everything else, this whole thing is going to come crashing down around everybody's head. You know, and we've been saying that that's going to happen for some time. And for 30 years, I've been seeing people tell me, oh, no, you know, the U.S. can't fail. And, you know, their secession is crazy. And there's, you know, why should we get out of this and all that? But it's taken 30 years of us saying, well, just hide and watch, because it's going to happen sooner or later. And here it is.
Well, you know, almost 100 years ago, 90 years ago, during the Great Depression, we had another a Marine, the only Marine I know of that's ever, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor twice. He fought in half a dozen countries, all from one end of the world to the other. But he came back, Sam, and he got in trouble. He said that we Americans who protect our flag should have a voice in where it has flown. And despite his unimpeachable record of heroism and patriotism, he was disparaged and mocked by his government and the corporate press. Sam, I know we're almost out of time, but do you have any? I know we talked about solutions. What should we do?
Well, I would say this. I differ somewhat from Mark, although I consider him a great friend and a colleague. But you know, Trump has resorted to unconstitutional means, but that's the only way things can happen. I don't like his foreign policy, but we have to recognize there's a possibility that he will end birthright citizenship. That is a colossal thing. I never thought I would see that. And he's trying to deport these immigrants, these invaders, these colonizers. He can't do it under the Constitution and the law system. All 25 million of these people would be entitled to a hearing and an appeal with a lawyer paid for by the American people. And that's what the liberals are upset about. They want that because they know in that way they can completely stymie and sabotage our immigration laws.
And meanwhile, these veterans with the Southern Baptists and the government supposedly love so well, they're starving. on the streets, disenfranchised, poor medical care, and these illegals that you're talking about are treated, they're treated like angels. Men, we are completely out of time. I can't thank you guys enough for coming in and helping out and helping push this.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah, you too, Sam. And I agree. I'd like to have a dick.
God bless you, brothers. We're completely out of time. Thank you so much, Lizzie. Thank you so much, Blood River Radio audience. Thank you so much.